at a time frame of how something comes from development to market. And really, 6 years from development in the first synthesization in 1987 to commercial use in France is actually fairly quick. You can see it's just relative to how long the exposure time is. I believe Texas A&M has done some of their minimum inhibitory concentration tests, and they've seen 3 parts per million. Some of the earlier stuff that we've seen published has been as low as 0.8 micrograms per termite, depending on exposure times. And there was mention of metabolites earlier. We do have some metabolization that will occur with fipronil over time. And the point I want to make here is that with these different types of metabolites, 3 of those are certainly active to termites. That can give you extended control of termites over time through the metabolic process. So here's the treatments. We had 13 homes in the Austin area. They were all active with eastern subterranean termite infestations. We had 7 WG treatments and 6 SC, just formulation differences. Still the same amount of fipronil per 0.06% per area. And we had the Rhône-Poulenc pending Termidor label that we followed in 1998. And you can see we did inspections at 1 week after treatment, then 3, 6, 12, and all the way up to 96 months after treatment. Took tank samples at the initial mixing time, soil samples pre and post treatment, and we ran bioassays, of which Chris Kiefer in his student paper gave some data here earlier in the meeting, and then I'll give the residue analysis data for all of these samples that were taken. These were all monolithic slabs, shallow beams, shallow footers, basically dug a trench into the treatment. Didn't need to rod down to any depth because it didn't have any deep foundations. Trenches were 6 inches deep and usually 4 to 6 inches wide is where the range was for that. Minimal rotting because there wasn't any depth to go, and you can see the kind of gallons that required for these treatments. These were exterior perimeter treatments. Almost all activity was associated, in fact, all activity was associated with the exterior walls. Most of the time it was on the outside. A couple of them was on the outside and the inside. There's always an exterior wall these were affected with. This is the calculation I used to calculate the half-life, and I'm going to give some data showing half-life from day one through time. So it's always from day one through time. And that kind of affects the how you look at it, because over time, the material that's remaining will bind stronger, so it increases the time of your half-life. There's the calculation that I did use. First of all, did it work? Well, definitely from the time of the very first activity or very first inspection after treatment, there was no activity all the way through 8 years after treatment. So it has been successful. We have been able to inspect these sites throughout all these time frames, not lose any sites to real estate transfers or anything of that nature. Looking at the actual residues, and this is by house, and this is the, I believe, the WG treatments. You can see we start with about somewhere around 50 part per million, 40, 50 part per million. And then we get a nice degradation curve, and this is fipronil itself down through 8 years after treatment. Very similar profile that we see with the fipronil residues for the Termidor SC. The untreated control soils that we did take and test were analyzed. There was no fipronil in there, and we also ran the bioassays with them, and the termites did go through them with no significant mortality compared to control. So that tells us that the soils themselves were not affected from a previous treatment of either fipronil or another material that might be compounding our effects here. Putting the WG and SCs together over the houses and averaging them, you can see a very good profile starting around 40 to 50 part per million from 1 week after treatment, and then dropping with the degradation profile through 8 years after treatment. Now, if we bring those both together and put the SC and the WG together and average those across the board, you can kind of see the kind of profile that we're looking at 1 week after treatment through all the way out to the 8 years after treatment. And then we can see the average. We're supposed to use the mouse, right? There we go. And down here, this is our part per million that we see in the soil profile for the averages over time. And you can see it is degrading over time. Now, what does that mean for half-life? And once again, the way I calculated the half-life was from day one, and then like this would be day one through 1 year, day one through 2 years, day one through 3 years. And this is half-life in months. And as I indicated earlier, when you have a material that stays in the soil over long periods of time, you will increase your half-life over time because of the cumulative binding factors that we have in the soil itself. And we saw this with early work with Dersman and other materials too. With that, to conclude, the structures were not only they were controlled over through 8 years after treatment, but also very quickly within 1 week after treatment. No activity over that time. Definitely we have a constant fipronil degradation profile in these soils over time. These were sandy clay and some silty clay loam soils. And we see some, you know, enhanced half-lives compared to the agricultural data that we see that's published in papers. And that is normal to what we see with termite work over time. And half-lives will increase as the material sits in that soil over time and binds these cumulative factors. With that, any time for questions? All right, thank you.
We have about a minute for questions.
Way in the back. The question, and if this is wrong, please restate it, but the question, I believe, was what condition would provide for the fastest type of degradation?
Yeah.
Would you suggest? Okay. Definitely, if you have the soil with the lowest amount of organic matter and probably the highest pH you could get, somewhere around 9, 10, 11, something like that, it'd be very high pH, and then with that, a high temperature profile, that would challenge just about every active ingredient, including fipronil over time. Yes? Yeah, one of the degradation pathways on here is a biotic, a microbial degradation pathway we do see. Fipronil goes through the fastest form of degradation by photolysis, which is not going to be the biggest concern when you put it into a profile of soil, because you're not getting the UV light to hit it. But that's why you don't have 8 years of control on a concrete surface versus a soil profile. So, thank you, Susan.
By way of introduction, there's a great deal of literature that deals with the borates and borate-treated wood. Some of the literature would indicate that it has pretty good potential in terms of protection of wood. Others of them deal with the fact that it takes very specific conditions in terms of a great deal of moisture in the wood in order to possibly be effective. And as indicated by Grace and Tomato in 1994, they described the borates as merely a shell treatment. Sue and Chaffron basically talk about the problems associated with low wood moisture in structural timber, which would limit the movement. Takara and Sue in 1993 demonstrated some interesting things concerning the borates, indicating that the eastern subterranean termite had an LD50 of approximately 141 parts per million, whereas the Formosan subterranean termite required 256. Kaler, in a publication in 2007, indicated that he would not be recommending standalone borate wood treatment based on the research that they had done, both in using a method that utilized a color kit provided by NYSIS Corporation as well as bioassays. NYSIS has rebutted the findings of Kaler, indicating that the NYSIS kit with the curcumin was designated for only the highest levels of borate supplied and not suitable for looking at penetration. Our dilemma came when the Structural Test Control Board in Texas effectively on January 8, 2007 wrote a requirement that borates could, as a matter of fact, be used in lieu of a full, partial, or abate treatment. This caused some concerns to those of